Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, where we bring creativity, magic, transformation, all in one place, and we do it all focused on one topic, business. Your business, the business you've always wanted to start, the business that's growing so fast you're not sure if you can control it, the business that you'd like to market, or even the company you'd like to sell one day. We talk about business, leadership, finance, project management, sales, marketing. We cover all the topics one week at a time that are important to you and allow you to be more effective in your business, in your company. And every week, we have a guest, someone who's an expert in their field, and we open up the lines so that you can call and ask them questions. To start, Lori and I always interview that person. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And you can call in and you can ask. We always have an expert, so you can ask them your tough questions, your burning thoughts on this specific subject matter. And before we introduce our guest tonight, you know I never take this journey alone. I have a co-host. Lori, let them know you're here.
Hi, everyone. It's Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design, coming to you Thursday night like usual. Tonight's guest is an idol of mine. We were recently introduced, and she's pretty amazing. Her name is Joanna Palaska, and she is the chief marketing officer of a security company called Maximum Security in Long Island. And Joanna manages to make the hardest of men seem like real people. And portrays this company like nobody has ever been able to do. And she is relatable, she's funny, she's smart, and she's going to talk to us tonight about her charities, how she works with building owners, manages. She's on several boards. And a lot of other things. So I'm going to let Joanna introduce herself and tell you a little bit about what she does and how she does it. Joanna, you're on.
Sure. Good evening, everybody. First and foremost, Lori and Ted, thank you for having me on. And thank you for that gracious introduction. I might have to borrow some of those statements from my LinkedIn profile. Very nicely said.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. As Lori has mentioned, my name is Joanna Plaska. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer and Brand Ambassador for Maximum Security. I'm very familiar with problems faced by building owners, managers, or boards. And I tend to utilize my 20 years of experience in marketing and operations to inform specifically condo and co-op boards, businesses, and also really building owners. Just on the latest trends on security, especially, you know, with the black market being up because of the pandemic, security is definitely a key asset that we need to take a look at. In my spare time, I always like to dedicate my time and hence my marketing expertise as a board member. A very dear charity to me is the Madison Square Boys and Girls Club, the International Facility Management Association, and the Westchester Building Owners Association. And I really love getting involved in the community and also networking with wonderful people like Lori.
And all of that. So tell us a little bit. You do a lot of charities, and you're on the board of several different, the Boys and Girls Club, the Westchester Building Owners Association, the International Facility Management Association. So how do you do all of that? How did you get involved with all of that? And why do you do all of that?
Sure. So, I mean, look, I came to this country from one that offered me nothing. I came here from former communist Poland. So in recognizing at an early age that I can make an impact and I can make a name for myself, I really focused on my own personal brand strategy of how I can build the greatest value set within myself in order to be able to help other companies and to help not just with, like, getting the business, you know, with the marketing aspect, but also in solving solutions and really presenting, like, the face of the brand, right? Because you have the brand as far as the logo and the website, but then there's also the personality behind the brand. So
correct.
Every experience that I've had, I've really built upon it. I've been very fortunate to work alongside a business owner throughout the tenure of my career. And that's really helped me to, number one, really troubleshoot and investigate the different problems that business owners face. But I also understand the value of creating your own strong personal brand. And, you know, once you have enough experience, getting involved in, you know, boards such as the International Facility Management Association, the Westchester Building Owners Association, they all tend to have the same problems. And I help them solve those problems by showcasing to them some of the solutions that the companies throughout my tenure of my career, you know, offer. Then there's also the human element. So with charities like the Madison Boys and Girls Club, and actually all of them, they always do some form of an event that does help with more local charities to raise funds. So it's
right.
always nice to be able to help out.
Very cool. Ted?
Well,
did you lose Ted again? Oh.
How could you lose Ted Santos? Are you kidding?
I don't know. So I know, Ted, you've done some board member stuff as well.
Absolutely, yes. Built them, sat on them, yes. Put people on them, I have. Those have been, corporations. And, yeah, many of those companies that have boards own property or at least lease it. So, yes, security is an issue. I'd say security is tighter in companies more than ever, but I guess COVID has maybe altered security. I mean, your firm may have a bit of an advantage. I mean, what advantage does your firm have in the marketplace, and has COVID created opportunities for you, right? I'm saying this because you know, in certain professions, maybe security guards, maybe restaurants and other places, people are having a difficult time finding people to work. You know, we live in a country where people are getting paid to stay home. So has your company figured out some way to, whether through technology or some other innovative way, to be able to give your clients a lot of value in the face of COVID?
Sure. So great question, Ted. And, you know, indeed, COVID landscape in general has really forced companies to really shift the way in which they look at business and attaining business. You know, the fortunate element is, you know, Maximum Security, we've served, for example, HOAs for close to 20 years. So we're pretty close with the clients and understanding their needs. And, you know, for us, it's very personal. When you have a 20-year relationship with one company, that says a lot. So we do take it personally. So we knew that we had to give our customers a better way to protect, in this example, the communities, but also a lot of businesses around Long Island, specifically like car dealerships, commercial buildings, so on and so forth. And the biggest issue that we saw everyone having is, you know, managing their operations budget. So we said, okay, well, how can we help all these companies, all these building owners, facility managers, how can we help them decrease their operating expenses? So we decided to look at technologies because technological innovation is always a great way to grow, right? So we knew that was definitely the right angle and things of that nature. Through the owners' great relationships with different firms in the field, we actually wound up partnering with a technology company, A-Plus Technology and Security in Bayshore. That is David Antar's company, and he's just a genius. If you haven't visited the facility in Bayshore, you have to go. It's like an episode of CSI. I love it there. So we decided to shift security from a pretty much reactive protocol, you know, the guard at the booth. So now we're offering virtual security. So a lot of people might ask, well, why does that help? So number one, with virtual security, you have cameras and analytics behind those cameras, pretty much watching a whole entire premise 24/7. That entire entity, you know, there is a guard that also is involved, but that guard is virtual. So the cameras do all the work, and the guard just looks at the events, depending on the analytics, and says, hey, you know what, this is an issue. But more importantly, because you have two-way communication, that guard can deter and have a more proactive way to deal with crime. So with virtual security, you are increasing your security protocol and decreasing costs. And some of the key studies that we've done since rolling out this product, we've seen a decrease of up to 50% on security costs. Why is that?
Wow.
Well, if you're saving 50% on security, you can take that money that you're not spending on security and reallocate towards something else. So that's been really interesting. As far as COVID itself, COVID has also posed a different way in which we execute security, specifically for our retail entities. So, like, for example, for Target, a lot of our guards became COVID ambassadors, making sure people wear masks and elements of that nature. So that's been pretty interesting. But virtual security is really, really where it's at. That is the next wave of security. And considering there are no risks, it's really the way to go.
So, you know, quickly, maybe there are a lot of details in this, but you said a virtual security guard through technology could deter criminal activity through technology. How is that done?
Well, if you think about it, the old protocol is very reactive. So something happens, and then the guards watch the tape, or at that point, the police watch the tape, and you're kind of just trying to piece things together, right? So you don't have the opportunity to catch someone as crime is happening. In addition to that, when you only have one guard, for example, sitting at a lobby or a guard booth, it's impossible for that guard to have eyes all over the property. It's just that's human nature. You're limited. But with analytics and with a virtual guard that's remotely monitoring based on analytics from a camera that's doing all the work, number one, that guard is more proactive in the sense that they're not as fatigued because the cameras are doing all the work for them. But in addition to that, when you have monitoring happening in the data center, it's not just one guard. You have pretty much a team of guards watching properties 24/7. So in that way, especially with the two-way communication, you're deterring crime because, you know, let's say that there's an event, a bad guy is going across at a car dealership, for argument's sake. Well, the camera is going to pick that up, and it's going to alert the guard in the monitoring center, hey, there's something going on here. This needs to be checked out. That guard then has access to go on the loudspeaker and say, hey, you with the red baseball cap on and the black hoodie, you're not supposed to be here. So by nature, that's a better approach than just someone sitting at a lobby. And we've seen a lot of companies save money in the car dealership. And, you know, we had a client save a lot of money when we learned that they needed better security because now the thieves are stealing all the different car parts for the black market. So in putting our system in place, that doesn't happen anymore. So it does work.
Interesting. Wow. So when you talk about analytics and a security system that has the capacity to do what you just described, that sounds like what people would call artificial intelligence or AI. Is that what you all are using, like smart computers?
Yes, that is correct. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be involved in learning the product inside out because as a marketer, it's important for me to know that. And especially as you see, I am a brand ambassador in a lot of ways for the company. So I want to be able to educate and explain the best that I can. But this system is so amazing. It can differentiate between a car, a person, if the wind's blowing. And in addition to that, since we are working with a technology firm, and that technology firm manufactures its own products and services, such as this one specific product called the Halo Sensor. we're able to really cater a super specific security protocol per client. Because if you think about it, depending where you live, depending what kind of assets you have, you know, security definitely should never be a one-size-fits-all solution. So one of the ways that we differentiate, especially with this partnership with A-Plus Technology, is we do take a very individualized approach, which is really the best approach to take, because when you're actually assessing an environment and putting together a solution that addresses the specific needs of that client, there's no way that it can't work. So you can't really compare that just to a guard sitting, you know, in a lobby. It's like day and night.
Right. And they don't have to chase after someone or even risk getting hurt. Yeah.
That's very true. The camera does all the chasing. No pun intended.
Right. I see you in the red hat. What are you doing there, buddy?
Yeah.
So
and plus
what do you
know,
do for that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Plus, with regards to the cameras, you know, a camera will also be able to capture data a lot better than a regular person would, right? So we have special cameras such as LPRs, so they're license plate readers, where now you can have a reference and, you know, the license plate readers, they actually register the plates should a customer choose to do so. So you really do have more efficient record keeping, because you know, if a guard is, you know, writing down a license plate number, if something could happen to it, you know, God forbid there's a fire, you know, the piece of paper goes on fire, you don't have a record. But with the LPR cameras, that gets stored in the cloud. It's not going anywhere. So by nature, it becomes a little bit more proactive and efficient, especially for clients that have large assets that they need to protect.
Okay, very good. And what do you do for this? For Maxim.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
What do you do for Maxim?
Oh, goodness. So Maxim has been such an intriguing opportunity for me because I feel like it has really taken all the experience that I've had in the past. Like I've worked in technology, I've worked in IT, I worked in for a promo company, and it has really taken all that experience for me to be able to help. So I came on board with the firm in October, and I came on board just as we were rolling everything out as far as virtual security has been concerned. So by nature, since I get super involved and always want to learn, I've really been helping the firm to establish its presence in the market, and we've really been focusing on transitioning our current clients to virtual security. But also, we've rebranded into a national brand. We're now going after national accounts, so that's been really interesting. And I've been able to leverage a lot of my relationships with property managers, building owners, business owners, to not sell, because that's never my role, but to educate on solutions that exist that generally help companies. So I've been, you know, it's been a pretty wild ride, and it's been really interesting to see the benefits of the solution, but also to be able to leverage all my expertise to genuinely help to grow the firm.
Interesting. So you're not one of the security guards sitting at a camera saying, "Hey, you in the red hat, I see you." You're not that person.
No, but that would be pretty cool to experience.
You're say that again.
I could see Joanna doing that.
Oh.
I know, I'm probably good at it too. But, you know, it's also been interesting. So Ted, you mentioned before about, you know, it's been difficult because, you know, for example, in New York State, unemployment laws and stuff, a lot of companies are having a hard time with hiring people. So, it's, you know, we're definitely having the same type of issue, which is why virtual security is the way to go. But I've actually transitioned some of my skill set into that area to be able to assist my recruiting team with to finding more guards, which, by the way, anyone on this podcast, if you have anyone that's interested in a security guard position, you send them my way.
Yes.
And, you know, at the end of the show, we'll give them an opportunity to contact
you
to know how to get in touch with you.
Great. Yeah, I would appreciate
that.
Thank you.
Know how to get in touch with you now.
Sure. So the best way to get in touch with me is either directly through, should I give my phone number? I'm not sure. This is my first, official podcast.
Whatever you want.
So
phone number, whatever you want.
However, whatever's the best way for them to contact you. This is your moment.
Yep. So the best way to contact me would be to send me a message through the website, which I control all the forms. So no matter where you send it, it's going to come to my inbox. As one of the, gatekeepers to distribute the information. So you may reach me at maxsecurityusa.com.
Perfect. Okay. So now we've established you're not sitting at the camera, and you're a very smart woman, and I still don't think you're writing the algorithms for the AI for this. Is that correct, or are you?
No, but I do get involved with regards to helping with the processes. So one of the great things about both Maximum Security and A+ and us working together is we're always looking to improve, always looking how else we can help to solve problems. And
right.
With my work specifically with user interface design, I've been able to add a lot of value with regards to helping streamline some of those entities. And also in being part of some of those meetings, it's also been interesting to just kind of learn the details of the scale and scope of these solutions.
So that's exactly what I hear you saying is you're – one of the things that you do is your value to Maximum is to promote the value proposition of the organization from a marketing perspective, right? So clear branding, clear messages as to why they use you and, what you just brought up about having a difficult time hiring security guards. There are companies that may have to hire 10, 20, or more security guards, and you all can reduce that by using technology. So I assume that's, as you already mentioned, so that reduces operational costs for your clients, and they can reallocate that money elsewhere. So it sounds like part of your expertise is understanding and promoting value propositions. Is that a fair way to put it as a chief marketing officer?
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually, I do have the honor of working with A+'s marketing team. So, as the products have developed and as we've learned about a lot of the pain points from our customers, we've been transitioning those pain points into advertising how our solution is really the solution to those pain points. So it's just really been interesting. We've done a lot of different webinars because, when you're rolling out a new product and, everyone's a creature of habit, right? So when you're used to doing something one way, unless someone genuinely displays it to you, it's kind of hard to see the value. But we're doing some of these demos, case studies, a lot of presentations. We've really been able to showcase to our clients and prospects really not just the, the bells and whistles behind the technology, but generally the benefits that the customer would get with virtual security.
Okay. Do you do any PR? Is that part of your bucket that you focus on?
Well, as a marketer, I'm always an advocate of an integrated marketing mix. So I always like to have, every tool set that I can to tell, because if you think about it, it's human nature. We consume information differently depending on who you are. So some people
right.
might want to read a blog. Some people might be more open to a Zoom event. Some people might want the press release. So I always like to add as many tools as I can into the toolbox to get the most brand awareness as I can.
Okay. So you must have been in this, when you start talking about integrated marketing strategies, I assume this is not your first time being in a position for marketing. Is that true? How long have you worked in marketing? And then I'll even take it back. How did you even start working in the marketing capacity?
Sure. So my journey has been strategic throughout the tenure of my career. I actually started out in fine art and graphics. So I got to learn the design, all the qualitative elements of advertising a business. And then I chose to go back to school to dabble more in marketing, to specifically understand international marketing. And the reason why I did that is because, you know, New York is a melting pot. So in a lot of ways, your strategy has to encompass an international audience. What do I mean by that? For example, if you are of Italian descent or Polish descent or Russian descent, there are psychological elements that help you to decide about a product or a service. So I thought, hey, if I can learn all that, I can cater more specific and targeted messages. And then I wound up combining that with some education within psychology. So that way I can kind of have a turnkey solution for any company that I work for or help, where you have the qualitative, which is the design aspect. So the logo, the website, the collateral, the look and feel, the psychology of color. Then you have the marketing, which is the quantitative, so the message, the content, the tone, the way in which the information is presented, even down to the typography style. And then combining that with psychology, I've really been able to differentiate myself and really add value to any firm because I'm driving like a multi-pronged approach when it comes to marketing. A lot of times in a firm, you have a person, you know, if you're hiring a marketer, that person just knows marketing. In my case, I understand the whole entire process from the psychology to the design to the marketing and the message, which really provides any employer that I work with a turnkey solution when it comes to that entity.
So does that that kind of sounds like with that holistic approach, and those are my words, you could be a CMO for any industry. Is that a fair way to say it?
It is, and I feel a lot of that has to also do with the fact that, you know, I am industry agnostic because I look at myself as a solution provider. Like, I personally thrive when there's a challenge presented to me, and especially if I have the background, since I've worked in a lot of different industries, to number one, understand that industry's pain point, but number two, to use my expertise and also my go-getter attitude to figure it out. And the funny thing is, I've always been able to figure it out, even the biggest challenges. And I think that that in itself is a value because that means I'm always on my toes looking for the next greatest way to help a company solve its problems.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Very much
very
so.
Good. Interesting. And which
and
other industries have you worked in?
So I have worked in the food industry, which that industry was really interesting, very creative, but very cutthroat. I've worked in the insurance industry, and I am actually a licensed public insurance adjuster, so it's been interesting to learn that element. I dabbled in the technology space. I was actually trained on the IBM servers at IBM at One Time Plaza, so that was a pretty cool experience. I've dabbled in manufacturing, specifically working with the Port Authority in the past. And, you know, I also did my own consulting for a while, so it gave me the opportunity to also learn other industries, you know, on a freelance basis. And all of that just combined really gives you a body of experience that you can utilize for the future. And also, I've always worked, you know, with property managers, for example, facilities managers. So it's also been great to, through my personal brand, take those relationships and bring them along to whatever my next opportunity is. So I've had a pretty cool journey.
What aspect of food were you in?
So I was the director of marketing for a company on Long Island that manufactured and distributed specialty foods like olives, vinegars.
Okay.
My department managed over 1,200 SKUs, so that means 1,200 products across a variety of brands, and also some private labels, including Ahold, which is Stop and Shop, King Cullen, along with all the other big guys. And that was probably one of the coolest experiences because it was so multifaceted. You know, just learning, you know, forget the whole marketing. You could focus your whole career just on food labels because, You know, I knew nothing about food labels before I got into that industry. And then learning all the detail, working with the lab to understand FDA regulations, it was a pretty interesting experience.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
So yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Lori.
My
question is kind of a follow-up to what I've been asking. So what is the value proposition of Maxim?
Value proposition of Maximum?
Yes.
Sure, very simple. Better security at a lesser price point. So, therefore, the end result of that is reduced operational budget. That way, the firms that we work alongside with can take that money and use it and funnel it into other areas of business.
Okay. So when you're talking about reallocating or looking at operational budgets, you must be speaking to people who are pretty high up. I know I heard you say boards for co-ops, but if it's someone who owns real estate, you know, owns office buildings, you must be speaking to someone pretty high up as a rule, or are you? You're not really the person speaking to those. You're just creating the messages.
Yeah, so as the jack of all trades, I do become the front-facing ambassador with a lot of our clients, and that's done strategically because I love getting involved in all that, and once again, I do have a lot of relationships I carry through. But yes, typically on a daily basis, you know, like currently I'm in the process of scheduling a demo with a condo board, actually two condo boards. Typically, I speak with property managers, facility managers, chief technology officers, security managers. I have long-standing relationships with a lot of facility managers within the school district. So pretty much anyone that would be making decisions about security or influencing those decisions and elements of that nature.
Okay. So let me give the phone number for anyone who wants to call in and ask Joanna some questions. 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640.
Right. And we also have a caller, 804 area code. I don't know if you have a question or if you just were listening, but I see you in there.
Hi. Good evening. I just came across your show. Wonderful information. And I'm actually a global visionary. I've had quite a bizarre life, and I'm bringing forth whole new paradigms and strategies to transform the entire fields of global economics, education, politics, religion, and more, based on spirituality and unconditional agape love, making everything ethical, moral, legal, and transparent. And I say election day is every day you buy a product, so there people, as they wake up to that and see some of the big corporations, I give it as an example because it is documentable that a number of years ago, Walmart paid a fine of $82 million for dumping pesticides down storm drains. So what's to stop them from doing it again or doing something else until they got caught? We are, when we look at companies and say, unless you're being good to your employees, your customers, the environment, and giving back to the community in ethical, legal, moral ways, you're going to go by the wayside as things change very rapidly, but as they are behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would love to interact with Joanna or any of the panel there. I'm from Long Island, and I've had quite a bizarre life. I'm even a former whistleblower. I was written up in a front page Wall Street Journal article that can be seen on the internet back in 1983. It triggered an investigation and eventually led to the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in shame. And the article beautifully described back then how special interests and lobbyists have totally corrupted Washington. It was before Ross Perot talked about it back then.
Interesting.
I was asking something.
Yes, go ahead.
What's your name?
Yes, my name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name, okay. Charlson, that's T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S like Sam, E like Edward, N like Nancy. I'm nonpartisan when it comes to politics, but I do share a common background with former President Trump, who I was looking to help unite the people of the country properly. Unfortunately, he was too far gone in his ego for that to occur. That's what I say is causing and will continue to cause his own self-destruction. If you Google Charlson and Trump, you'll even see a big website with the Wall Street Journal article and attachments on there and letters from former President Trump to me. I have an opportunity I put out globally.
Hey, Hugh,
yes.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did you have a question for Joanna?
Yes,
it
I wanted to
like
see
have,
if she's working with spirituality in her work, too, because that's going to be a big change globally. Not religion, but spirituality.
Joanna.
I'm sorry, Hugh. Well, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Yes, if you're doing anything with spirituality in all your work.
Of course. You know, I'm an artist first and a marketer second, because the artistry is where the storytelling happens. And if you can't connect with other people, you can't connect the brand to the customer, and that's not good. So by nature, you have to start with the qualitative, which is the spiritual entity, and then work your way forward. Does that answer
Wonderful.
Your question?
Yes, and my last name does have global recognition in the food service field. Charlson refrigerators are all over the world, even in the White House kitchen. I'm the firstborn child of the founder.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah,
you have an
very
eclectic
cool.
Background.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Yes, again, I'm looking to connect with people like you because we can shift very quickly. The Internet, I say, is mankind's avatar for the future. It's like the Wild West right now, but it can be tamed. I think blockchain is absolutely wonderful. I'm not too keen on the Bitcoin type things because I always want to have a little cash on hand instead of somebody shut me down so I can't get my can of beans.
Absolutely. No question. And speaking of blockchain, Joanna, is that any part of the technology that you all use? I know you use AI, but is blockchain relevant at all?
Well, if you think about it, you know, especially with, you know, the black market and stuff, there's always an angle there, but definitely with AI as well.
Okay. All right. Do we have any other callers?
No, we do not. Okay. So thank you for calling in. Okay. We appreciate it. Joanna, you know, I know that we talked about Maximum being on Long Island, but if I'm not mistaken, they're also in other states?
Yeah, so we're so excited, you know, and that's been one of my probably favorite parts of work. I mean, there are a lot of favorite parts because I love everything that I do, but the one that I had the most fun with is rebranding the company from a local to a national brand. So right now we're doing business in the Carolinas, in Illinois, in Georgia, and in Florida, and we do plan to continue to expand.
That's fantastic.
Well done.
Yep.
Does your messaging change by state, or it's pretty solid, consistent?
The messaging is pretty solid because each industry is going to have the same pain points, but the way in which you approach that market has to be tweaked a little bit. So it's like we're national, but we still want to keep like a local presence. Therefore, you know, even with the expansion, we've been very careful. It's been a controlled expansion because we don't want to lose our value set of staying close to our clients. You know, a lot of our competitors, I won't say who, but the big guys, you know, they typically gobble up security companies and gobble up security companies, and the customer just becomes a number, right? For us, even with the expansion, it was really, really, really important to still stay very close, you know, in close contact with the customers and make sure that we give them that individual attention, because honestly, it's necessary because the clients are the ones that understand their environment and their needs the best. So by that nature, even with the expansion, since we're doing it slowly and paying attention to all the details and then tweaking the process as we go, the more we learn, it just overall presents a stronger solution and a stronger brand.
Well, and staying in that sort of line of questioning and changing your messaging, I mean, New York is a great place to start something like this because New York, without question, is a melting pot. You have Chinatown, Little Italy, you have Little Brazil. You have in Brooklyn, you have a huge Russian community, so we can go on and on, you know, Tibetan. Does that, do you have to adjust anything when you talk about value proposition of your company and technology when you're addressing people who may not be as good in English, so they may speak Mandarin, but they have the same security challenges as anyone else, right? So how does dealing with so many different ethnic groups in New York or even around the country or world, how does that affect you as a head of marketing?
So with me, I always like to take, like a top-down overview. And at the end of the day, no matter who you're dealing with, at the end of the day, you're dealing with an actual person, right? So just like in a relationship, you would learn about the other person and cater your communication to that person. It's the same thing in marketing. You learn about the market. You know, if it's a new industry, you learn about the new industry. And then you create a marketing strategy that caters to the best way in which that audience is willing to receive the message. You know, on the same token, when you have a pain point, typically when it comes to security, it's always the same pain point, right? So you just have to find the best way to communicate the solution to that pain point to that specific audience. So by nature, if you pay attention to that and you cater the communication strategy according to how that industry is going to be most willing to receive the message, then you have all your angles covered.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
So let's talk about training a little bit, right? Because Maximum Security, Michael, the owner or starter or right, was a detective first and implements different protocols in terms of training the security guards, right? And it's a very different approach than just putting someone behind a desk or at a booth.
Yes, I'm so glad that you brought that up, Lori. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that element. So interestingly, Maximum has four owners, and they all have law enforcement experience, either detective, police officer. Combined, these gentlemen have 125 years of law enforcement experience. Why is that important to this conversation? Well, they have taken this experience, and more specifically, the experience with the Suffolk County Police Department's COPE program, which focuses on the community. And they've utilized all their experience to really build a rigorous training program for guards. So why is that important? Well, simple. You know, when you have a program that's rigorous, these guards, they're getting trained on situational analysis versus just reading something from a book where they don't know where it belongs. And when you have situational experience, it really does help you to analyze and take the right step in protocol when a security event happens. And that's really been at the forefront of the firm since its inception to make sure that there is a strong security training program and also subsequent training programs to make sure that our guards are on top of what they need to do, because when an event happens, you have a split second to think what's happening next, and we want them to be prepared, ready, and confident in the solutions and the choices that they make.
It's very cool. It promotes safety on the security guards. It promotes safety on terms of I don't want to use the word residence because it could be a company as well, but for all intents and purposes, I'll use it as a blanket statement, right, for the residents of each building. And look, it's like James Bond.
I think my phone broke up. So I just wanted to add the point, you know, for me, it's been really interesting getting to know all the owners. And, you know, I always pick their brains. So one will teach me about interrogation. The other one will teach me about fire investigations, bomb squad, narcotics dogs. What are those, the bomb sniffing ones? So it's been really interesting to learn all these different entities that go into law enforcement, but also understanding that, hey, you know what, like this is real legitimate experience. This isn't just, you know, training out of a book. This is real stuff that, you know, these owners actually experienced. And it's nice because it really makes it real and genuine and really powerful. Because when you have a guard that is confident and has been given the best training, that guard will make the best choices in a sticky situation.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny, you know, because I have the criminal justice background, right? So working in the DA's office and working in homicide and the crime victims. And so I understand, you know, all of that and the questioning and the interrogation piece and the dogs, you know, having worked in corrections and drugs. And, you know, so it is different training for each aspect. And when you have four people who have each of those specific trainings, it just makes for a very different experience on part of, you know, both parts, the assisted and the people giving the assistance.
Yep, that's exactly.
Yes, and it makes it amazing. So, and I would imagine that's also another, you know, cost savings and cost effective, but I would also imagine it just makes it harder to find employees.
Yes and no. So we have a really great recruiting system in place. Actually, our recruiting manager started out as a guard, and that says a lot about the culture of maximum security because we really do promote from within. And, you know, the system that we have in place, even if you aren't currently a guard, you know, we do our own, you know, qualification to make sure that the personality type is there for what we need. But we have been able to train, you know, really great, you know, beginners where they, you know, go and they get their security license. And they've stayed with us for years. And it's been interesting because one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to get to know the team. So within the past couple of weeks, I've gone out in the field with the recruiting manager just to meet who the team is. Because, look, we have close to 330 guards out in the field currently. So I can't meet everybody, but I wanted to at least meet some of them. And, you know, the owners are always saying such great things and telling such great stories. But, you know, you can definitely see the fruits of all the effort in grooming and honing in on the skill set of our team, but also seeing how the culture aspect comes into play. Because, you know, everyone really looks out for each other. And you can see, it's very clear. And, you know, for all those reasons, I still made the right choice in joining this firm. And that makes me really happy for the future.
I think they made the right choice in hiring you.
Yeah, I'm having a pretty good time. And you know what? And there is still a learning curve. And for me, the learning curve is so exciting because we all know when you learn is when you grow. And we should always be striving to grow because as a marketer, you can't be stagnant. The industry changes, customer perceptions change, the tools out there change, a pandemic can hit. So anything could really happen.
Right. Exactly. So I guess,
Go ahead, Lori, please. No,
I was going to say our listeners are all entrepreneurs and everybody is always looking to grow their company or expand or start their company. So here you are taking on something that's, you know, I mean, that's what you do, right? Growth strategy, you're a marketer. but you've also tackled a very new industry for you. So for our listeners, what would you say, or how could you assist them or help them look for or tell them, you know, what is their pain point or help them, what do they need to know to figure out what their pain points are? What do they need to do or what suggestions would you throw out for a new company, for a company to grow? What do they need to look for or do? Does that make
sure.
sense? So is that complicated?
No, it makes sense. And, you know, I can have a two-hour conversation just about the question that you posed. But
mm-hmm.
I think that for new company owners, make sure that you build a strong foundation. Make sure
mm-hmm.
that you're testing enough. Make sure that you are actively listening to your audience, because that's what's going to cater your marketing messages.
Mm-hmm.
And also be a sponge. Definitely do a lot of research, market research, but also invest in making sure that you build a strong culture. Because when things do get tough, your culture, your people, those are the people that are going to help you to stay afloat. And besides that, just, you know, stay true to yourself. You know, in life, just like in business, you have good days, you have bad days. But the thing is, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, you can always learn and then start the next day with a reset. And in talking to a lot of business owners, you know, because I do a lot of networking, it's been really interesting to see which business owners have been able to hate the word but pivot, and which ones kind of got stuck. And
mm-hmm.
the ones that could pivot had a great team behind them. The ones that couldn't did not. And I think there's a lesson in that for sure.
So we're closing in on time.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Lori.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was, you know, with the amount of time, I was thinking most co-ops, office buildings, most places probably already have a security guard, security system in place. How would someone know that, like, today, like tomorrow morning, they need to call you? How does the co-op or any office, anyone that's using security now, how would they know they need you? And right now they don't know that. How would they know that?
Well, you know, if you think about it in the sense of an HOA, they're always in competition with one another. And with an HOA, you always want to lower your HOA fees, right, because that makes it more palatable as far as competition is concerned. But in addition to that, specifically New York, with the minimum wage continuing to go up, you know, that expense always gets transferred onto the vendors, hence security. So, you know, at any given point in time, it's always best to know your options. And because this is a new type of technology, a lot of condo and co-op boards don't know about it. And now that we can't do trade shows, you know, we've been taking a more proactive approach to get the word out there. But we don't look at it as, hey, you know what, we're going to give you virtual security. No, we do an assessment. Hey, you know what are your vulnerabilities at your property? How can we assist with that? And then we, you know, engineer a plan that really makes sense for their specific needs.
Okay. That's pretty good. Any other thing that they would reasons that they would want to contact you?
Other reasons to contact us is virtual security. It has a couple different product sets. So we have a solution called Virtual Gatehouse, which deals directly just with access control at the entryway of a community or a commercial park. We also have Virtual Concierge, which offsets the need for a lobby guard. And that's actually really great for COVID purposes, because if you have a virtual guard, he's not spreading the cooties around anywhere. So that kind of, you know, helps with that to limit the exposure. And then there's the remote monitoring, which is the virtual guarding, which helps to protect all the premises. So if you're a car dealership and you have a lot that's maybe next to, you know, a highway where it's highly vulnerable to be, you know, for crime, we can offset with that. But that's why, you know, contacting us for a demo and a free cost analysis to make sure that we're able to save you a lot of money is probably the best approach, because number one, it allows us to learn your environment. But number two, it allows you to learn how we'd be able to solve your pain points. And that's where the trust is built.
So how do they find out more about your company and contact you?
So the best way to contact us would be to go on our website, maxsecurityusa.com, and just shoot me a quick message. Let's schedule a demo. We can have a conversation. We can definitely, you know, schedule a site assessment and a cost analysis, and then take it from there. And at the end of the day, it is a free consultation. So even if you choose that you may be not ready, at least you will have known what your vulnerabilities are and how we'd be able to help you solve those vulnerabilities with our solution set.
Very good. Any final words of wisdom you'd like to leave?
Yes. Final words of wisdom. Let me think about that. I mean, look, everyone's on the grind. The summertime's always the craziest for every business because things slow down a little bit. But I guess my final words of wisdom are, don't forget to seek balance. The grind is the grind, right? Things are always going to change. There's always going to be good and bad days. But what you do have control is within yourself. And having that balance within yourself will help you to get through the good days as much as the bad days.
Very good.
Very. Awesome. Awesome.
Thanks, guys. This has been so much fun.
Thank you. No, you were great.
Lori, did you hear that? She said that like she was surprised.
What's that?
She didn't say it like she was surprised.
Yeah, she said that like she was so surprised. Like, this was so much fun. Like, wow, you know?
Well,
are you serious?
Well, the whole thing is, for me, I've been with the firm since October, so I'm still learning a lot of stuff. So sometimes in doing podcasts, I get a little bit nervous because I'm like, well, what if there's an answer, a question that I don't know the answer to? But, you know, I guess doing this, I guess I'm kind of comfortable now because I've been able to answer pretty much all the questions. So maybe I didn't need to be as nervous as I was. But it's okay.
Hey, I'm going to say it like they say it in Brooklyn. You've done good. Forget about it.
Love it. And you guys have been wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Definitely would love to do this again. And if any of the listeners have any questions or concerns or want to talk or discuss anything further, definitely reach out to us through the company website.
Perfect. Thank you for joining us and accepting the invitation.
Thank you.
To clearly display your expertise. So sounds like Maximum is lucky to have you and you take a very much a holistic approach. So thank you. Thank you for sharing with us tonight.
Sure. Thank you so much, guys. Everyone be well and have a rockin' rest of the week.
Thank you.
Right.
You too.
You
and thank
same.
You again.
Take care,
bye,
everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
You well. Bye.
Bye.